Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. So appreciate your being with us during these difficult times. For our ongoing coverage of COVID-19, as well as the public health measures being taken to try and stem the spread of COVID-19. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk about Asian Americans and concerns about them being targeted for how the virus is referred to, as well as its associations from its origins in Wuhan province, China. We're also going to be talking about what would have been the opening day of Major League Baseball. That, of course, not happening, but the Triple Play reconvenes to talk about life without baseball and what fills in, at least in some respects. But we begin with power struggle at the Hall of Administration, Los Angeles County, where a majority of the Board of Supervisors is looking at removing Sheriff Alex Villanueva from the position of being head of the County Office of Emergency Services. With us to talk about it later will be Sheriff Villanueva, but right now we're joined by Los Angeles County Supervisor Sheila Kuehl, who I'm holding personally responsible for every time I wash my hands thinking of this little light of mine, thanks to your public service announcement. Supervisor Kuehl, thank you for joining us.
Oh, Larry, I got the idea because I was, before we all started having to stay home, I was at a concert at UCLA, and we'd already been encouraged to wash our hands, and I was in the, you know, giant ladies' room, and somebody started singing Happy Birthday to Me, which was the, you know, what we originally were doing, and everybody in the entire washroom was then singing it, and I thought, what a great thing, but this little light of mine is even better, a little bit longer, and really works.
So now it's stuck in my head when I wash my hands. Let's talk about this effort to remove the sheriff. When did this start?
January of 2019. I think that the sheriff is somehow trying to make this sound like it started because of something he did in the pandemic. And that is absolutely inaccurate. And what's even worse is he knows it. In 2018, we had the huge Woolsey fire, as you know, the biggest fire LA County ever had. And so I convened a rather large and comprehensive task force in January of 2019 to really take in all the information about what had happened in the fire and to make recommendations that were to come back to the board at the end of 2019. They met all year, and one of the major recommendations was, because of the lack of coordination of the emergency services in the entire fire, time of the fire and then beyond, they recommended that we do what almost every other county in California has done, which is to change an almost 70-year-old ordinance that put the sheriff in charge of all emergency operations to the Office of Emergency Management, which every county now has, because it's much broader than law enforcement. And we've certainly seen it in the pandemic. It's all the health departments, it's housing and homelessness, it's way beyond just law enforcement. So we've been working all year, and the sheriff representatives were also engaged in transferring this authority, but it's because of the fire and how there was really a lack of coordination. And the sheriff, it doesn't matter who the sheriff is not the right person to coordinate it. And so we actually have an emergency operations center up and running in the county that's been run by our Office of Emergency Management through this entire pandemic. So I appreciate that Alex's feelings are hurt, but this is really not about him and not about anything he's done. This was way in the works for a while.
So this wasn't in response to the concerns that were expressed, I believe, by county council when he issued the order for gun stores to close, claiming they're non-essential, and the county came back with the legal opinion that he didn't have the authority to do that. This is not related to that?
You know, this is the most progressive board that the county's ever had. Most of us would be very happy for gun stores to be shut down. I don't think they're essential either, but we have to have the interpretation that fits the governor's definition. And that's why county council said under the governor's definition, they are. So I have no animus to the sheriff you know, for trying to do that. That's just ridiculous. I think he's really reaching, honestly, Larry, to try to continue the facade of this big argument between him and the supervisors. But the truth is, we are doing the most responsible thing. It has nothing to do with personalities. We started doing this after the Woolsey fire. We're doing what over two-thirds of all the counties have done, and putting jurisdiction in our Office of Emergency Management to oversee a much broader response of emergency services than was even thought of 75 years ago.
You're saying that he's reaching to portray this as an ongoing battle, but there are issues of significant disagreement between the board and the sheriff, going back to his rehiring of sheriff's deputies and other personnel who had been let go for alleged malfeasance, the subpoena power being given to the Civilian Oversight Commission, which the sheriff did not want to have. There have been a number of ongoing issues that have been disputes between the board and the sheriff.
Yes, but when you have legitimate disagreements, that is not a personality issue. The supervisors are really charged with running the county. And frankly, everyone who works for the county, including sheriff's deputies, are our personnel under the county. We were very concerned when he started hiring back people who had been let go because of overuse of violence, including Mendoyan. And I guess you know, Larry, yesterday the court sided with us that it's not the supervisors that fired Mendoyan. It's the Civil Service Commission that agreed, and the sheriff put him back to work against the law. When the Civil Service Commission agrees with a dismissal, he can't just decide to hire the guy back. And that's why we went to court. It wasn't really about the sheriff or Mendoyan. It was about the principle of the Civil Service Commission being able to be the final word, which is the law. And so I think he's really personalizing it in a way that we don't.
Back to the issue of emergency operations. He's calling this a power grab. And you're looking at giving the Office of Emergency Management the authority to run the EOS. And, that is essentially putting the power under the board, right? Because emergency management reports to you folks, so it is a shift of power, isn't it?
It is a shift of power on paper, but frankly, for the last 10 years, there has been an Office of Emergency Management, and they have been tasked with overseeing emergencies, earthquakes, etc., because the old-fashioned use of the sheriff being in charge was not any longer sufficient to really accomplish what needed to be done. Baca didn't complain. Jim didn't complain. But Alex is now suddenly calling it a power grab, not recognizing that there are emergency situations, and this pandemic is one of them.
So Sheriff Jim McDonald, he was fine with making this shift?
He didn't see it as a shift, because the sheriff is still in charge of all law enforcement operations.
Okay, but doesn't oversee the entire emergency operations center. So Jim McDonald was okay with him not being the head of that.
Well, he didn't take it personally if we had an Office of Emergency Management that would oversee situations that were not about law enforcement.
All right.
It's been the case for several years, but, I really think you guys are being played a little bit to get into this, making it sound like a food fight or something, when we're trying to manage an emergent situation that is not a law enforcement emergency.
What is there going to be a vote on this next week of the board?
Yes, on Tuesday.
On Tuesday. All right. Supervisor Kuehl, thank you very much. I appreciate your being with us. Sheila Kuehl, Los Angeles County Supervisor, talking about the reasons why the board is looking at moving the Emergency Operations Center under the management of the Office of Emergency Management. Also with us is Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva. Sheriff, thank you for being with us. First of all, your response to the supervisor's how she is framing this shift.
Well, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but not their own set of facts. That's for sure. This is about the public safety. It's not about politics. So to have the board entertain this motion when we have hospitals struggling to get masks and protective gear, when we're struggling to find shelter, this is the time they decide to put this on the table. It is beyond bizarre.
Well, she's saying this goes back, though, well over a year. This has been in the works coming out of the review of a response to the Woolsey fire of 2018, and that this doesn't have to do with what's going on now with the coronavirus.
Actually, if she had bothered to read her own report from the Woolsey fire, I've been preaching and advocating since day one. This is about a unified command. This is about a unified approach. And they, from day one, said, no, this is a health crisis and nothing else. So everyone else needs to basically stay out of their own lanes. And it's been the Board of Supervisors with the Director of Public Health only that are making decisions, which is very weird because that is out of the incident command system, the structure. This is the system that's used at the national level. It's called National Incident Management System. The state level is the State Emergency Management System, SEMS, and at the county level uses NIM, SEMS, and Incident Command System. There's four major components, and they should be decision makers in this process. And that is obviously health, which has the leading role in this, but you also have fire as first responders. You have law enforcement, because who's going to enforce the orders from the health officer? It falls on law enforcement. Then you have countywide operations because they're in charge of providing the shelters and increasing the search capacity, all of these things. So they have these four major components in play, but the board wants to have only appointed people in charge of each group. And then when we're supposed to be making decisions and have a unified voice, there is no opposing points of view.
Well, though the Office of Emergency Management, isn't it best position to coordinate between health, fire, law enforcement, and countywide operations? Wouldn't that make more sense than just having one of those, law enforcement, be the point person for coordination?
Well, actually, the Emergency Operations Bureau has been doing that job working with the Office of Emergency Management. Day in and day out, they've been doing that for decades. And I know she keeps harping back to, well, 65 years ago, well, we also had the earthquakes in 94. We had the riots in 1992. We had the firestorms in 93. We've had, and then the Woolsey fire just last year in 2018. We have had all these things, and every single one after the 9/11 and the fiasco in Katrina, when entities were not communicating well, either at the federal, state, local level, or within local government, they were not communicating well. They developed the incident command system. It is designed for everyone to come into the table and make an agreement and then have a unified voice. That's what a unified command is about. The board is trying to politicize it because they want only appointed people in that unified command.
So we heard from Supervisor Kuehl that there wasn't resistance to this from your two predecessors, Jim McDonnell, Lee Baca, that they saw this as not a problem. Do you disagree with that?
That is absolute hogwash. That has always been a problem. This has always been a power grab. If you read through the entire Woolsey document, you will not find anything which supports the supervisor's position. In fact, that document reiterates exactly my position.
Okay. What is the rationale for a law enforcement agency being at the top of the Emergency Operations Center? For example, in the city of Los Angeles, is the LAPD responsible for being the top manager of their Emergency Operations Center?
Well, they run a city emergency operations center. LAPD has their own command post, and how they do it specifically, I'm not familiar with. But in a unified command, all of the components are involved, every single one. I'll give you a prime example of when this is done incorrectly, and this is in this case today. When you had the supervisor office and you had the director of health services make a decision on a health order, and they tried to sell it like a soft sell to the public, and somehow expected that 10 million people are just going to snap their fingers. Okay, that we're going to change the way we live our lives. And then that was on a Thursday. On Saturday, you had everybody at the beach at spring break. And that was a very poor decision because public safety was not consulted, was not involved in the planning, in the rollout, and that is exactly why the incident command system involves everybody.
So how would you or your representative have factored into the decision on that order and what unfolded at the beaches?
Well, the order comes from the health officer. They make the determination because they are the subject matter experts in that regard. However, from making the order to executing it and enforcing it and making sure people are abiding by it, that becomes then, it falls on law enforcement because we're the only visible presence of government authority in the community. That becomes then our handle to figure out how best we can do that. And we work in conjunction with the health officers, with the countywide services.
But I thought the original order didn't have an enforcement component in it. So wouldn't that have jumped the gun to consult with you about an enforcement of an order that didn't have any enforcement provision? Now, later on, obviously, they're looking at potential enforcement of this and punitive measures for people who don't follow the orders. But wouldn't it have been premature for them to talk with you about it before there were any punitive measures that were contemplated?
Larry, the very first sentence in the order said it's a misdemeanor crime. Once you put that in the order, I mean, is it like, I hope everyone listens to me? That's really...
Well, it kind of was like that, wasn't it? I mean, because I don't think there was any talk about actually enforcing it as a crime.
It's not going out there, running around chasing people and arresting people. That's far from that. It's using cooperation, using what you would call as recognized authority figures to deliver a message and show the gravity of the situation. So you get the greatest amount of compliance in the community as possible at the very beginning. And by failing to do that, you got somewhat of a halfway compliance.
All right.
So you have all these congregations here and there, and that goes against the grain what the whole idea was to have the order in the first place.
We're talking with Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva. I want to go back to your order that you suspended that gun stores close as non-essential businesses. County Council saying you don't really have the authority to do that. This is the governor's call. And the governor then punted it back in his news conference, says, I'm going to leave it to the sheriffs. So what's the next step on this?
We've already released an order for the county from my office and worked in consultation with the LA County Chiefs of Police Association. So for county unincorporated areas and the 42 cities that we contract with for law enforcement services, the gun stores will remain closed except for law enforcement and public security organizations. For the city of Los Angeles, they've opted to close all gun stores, period. And I believe the city of Pasadena is going to follow our model. And then all the 45 individual police departments, they'll be up to their chief of police in consultation with their city council.
Are you concerned that with the Second Amendment right of someone to have a gun for personal protection, that since gun stores are the only place that people can get guns, legally at least, that this has the unintended consequence of potentially pushing gun sales underground, or that it infringes on the Second Amendment?
Doesn't infringe on the Second Amendment at all. The case law that's coming out of the Supreme Court is very clear that it's not an absolute right at any time to go and purchase a gun. There are restrictions in the manner which you can purchase them, when you can purchase them, and who can purchase them. So we're on very solid ground. The governor made my position very clear that is at the discretion of the sheriff of the county. So he deferred that to the 58 sheriffs to resolve.
If the stores don't close, are you going to send deputies there to force a closure?
We will ensure that they're complying with the order.
We're talking with L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva. I also wanted to talk about the prison population in Los Angeles County. Approximately how many prisoners have been released because of concerns over COVID-19?
Approximately 2,000.
Okay. And are you concerned at all that this could potentially lead to an increase in crime?
Well, we're flooding the streets with deputies now, that we've redirected our resources to patrol and custody. So they're literally running into each other on the streets right now, deputies. You have businesses that are closed. People are at home for the most part, so you're not going to get burglaries. We have a saturation patrol in all the areas that are closed to business in case people want to take advantage of the absence of the business owners. And we've seen a drop in crime. We've seen a 10% drop in violent crime across the county and a 6% drop in overall Part 1 crimes, which are all serious felonies.
Sheriff Villanueva, thank you very much. We appreciate it. I hope we can check back with you in the next few days and get an update on what's happening with your sheriff's deputies, any COVID-19 exposure, and also about what the future holds with the county jail. Thank you very much.
You got it.
Thank you. Sheriff, L.A. County, Alex Villanueva joining us on Air Talk. Coming up, we're going to be talking about discriminatory actions against Asian American Angelenos. There have been concerns because COVID-19 originated in the Chinese province of Wuhan, that there would be people targeted because of them appearing Asian American, and also because of the term Chinese virus that President Trump was using earlier to describe COVID-19. I'd like to hear from you if you are an Asian American Angeleno, if you have perceived any difference in how you're treated as a result of COVID-19. We're at 866-893-KPCC. That's 866-893-5722 or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Back in 1 minute.